I want to move on and also talk about some other work you've done that I've heard a lot of people commenting on, and certainly very important work looking at combination checkpoint inhibitors, specifically anti-PD-1, anti-CTLA-4 combination. Obviously, we see that in melanoma and other places. You've looked at it in non-small cell. What do we know about it at this point?
Sure. You're right. The combination of PD-1 plus CTLA-4 really emerged from the experience in melanoma, which the combination showed a really dramatic increase in response rate, and in randomized studies have shown a survival benefit. We've then translated some of that experience to non-small cell lung cancer and initially examined a variety of different doses of CTLA-4 plus PD-1 and found that, for reasons I can't exactly explain, at the higher doses of CTLA-4, like 3 mg per kg or higher, there was a fairly substantial toxicity in patients with non-small cell lung cancer that wasn't quite seen as profoundly in patients with melanoma. And as a result, we changed
the— Was that more colitis?
It was more everything. And I think the conclusion was more or less in lung cancer that 3 mg per kg or higher was basically intolerable. And so clinical trials have focused on a lower dose of the CTLA-4 inhibitors at 1 mg per kg every 4 or 6 weeks. And changing the dose and the frequency of the CTLA-4 inhibitors has really dramatically changed the tolerability of this combination. And I think for my eye, it does make it sort of a very achievable combination, not just in specialty centers, but across the community. I think most intriguingly, though, has been that in the phase 1 trial of PD-1 plus CTLA-4, we did find a pretty substantially increased response rate relative to what would be expected with PD-1 therapy by itself. At different levels of PD-L1 expression, there seemed to be an approximate doubling of the response rate with the combination. And so certainly driven some enthusiasm for following that into phase 3 trials, which are ongoing now.
So what about, is the data encouraging enough? Obviously, both of these drugs are available to consider it outside a trial setting in metastatic non-small cell. Any situations, maybe a patient's sick, they need a response.
Yeah. In some ways, those patients who are particularly sick makes me a little bit more cautious of using the CTLA-4 because although the toxicity is better than at higher doses, there still is that increased risk of toxicity. My own instinct is that the CTLA-4 is contributing some degree to the response rate, and I've used it a few times in the off-label setting. My hope is that we'll have phase 3 data soon to be able to clarify just in whom that's the right thing to do and how often.
And I guess the key there, it kind of seems that maybe from a clinical point of view, it's not that meaningful. I mean, it's so hard to tease that out. You know, you see the response rates, but you tell me, I mean, you've treated a lot of these people. Do you have the feeling it's significantly more efficacious than just PD-1 alone?
I think it does. I think it does add something. I feel like in the patients I put on clinical trials with the combination, I feel like a little bit more confident with their possibility of benefit. It doesn't guarantee a response by any means, of course, but I think that there is some consistency in the data between non-small cell lung cancer, small cell lung cancer, melanoma, kidney cancer. In each of those settings, the CTLA-4 inhibitor is associated with some increased benefit.
Although, you know, I mean, you see a lot of things approved in oncology that really are, you know, pretty borderline. They're statistically significant, but, you know, the actual numbers are kind of small. I think the big thing that people think about with checkpoint inhibitors is the possibility of prolonged response, maybe unmaintained. Do you think that maybe is more common in people getting the combination?
I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure that the duration of response is different. I think that probably the most clear thing is the increased response rate, the population of people who benefit in the first place. But it's not clear to me that there's a change or a difference in terms of how long those patients who respond actually benefit. My guess is that the PD-1 monotherapy responders and the combo responders have a similar outcome. It's just that there's more people in the combination group who are responding.
Right.